Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining me. I'm Aurora Queen on TechNet Radio. This is our show for December 12th, 2006. Today we're talking with Josh Edwards about deploying and managing Office 2007. Josh Edwards is a technical product manager here at Microsoft, and he sits down with Chris Avis to talk about new tools that will help you successfully deploy Office 2007. After that interview, we'll have our monthly security bulletin with Kai Axford interviewing Mark Griesi, and then I'll close out the show for you. Here's Chris Avis and Josh Edwards on TechNet Radio.
All right, good day to everyone, and welcome to TechNet Radio. Today we are speaking with Josh Edwards, and he is a technical product manager on the Microsoft Office Client Technical Product Management team. It's a rather long title there. In his role, Josh focuses on the deployment, the management, and security issues that are related to the Office programs. And prior to coming to work with the Office team, Josh was involved with the MSN unit as well as Xbox, and he worked on some innovative internet services and products for both of those groups. An interesting note is Josh grew up in Saudi Arabia and has lived in Russia, the Ukraine, and several other locations around the globe. Welcome to TechNet Radio, Josh, and thank you for taking time out to speak with us today.
No problem, Chris. Good to be with you.
All right. So today's focus for TechNet Radio is we're going to talk about deployment and different options and solutions for deploying the Office system, the Office 2000 system out. And what I wanted to lead off with is, you know, there's a lot of things in the Office product. It's not just Word and Excel and Outlook and Access. There's a whole lot more that's involved to it. So could you give us a brief understanding of what Office really is these days?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, as we've seen, you know, the internet's played such a major role in terms of sort of expanding the applications and the opportunities. It's not just about desktop productivity. I mean, we think about Office in the past, it was about doing stuff on your machine by yourself, and then when it came time to share that with other people, it was emailing it or printing it out. What we've really done is it kind of expanded that definition, and not only the integration with Exchange, which most people are quite familiar with, but think about SharePoint, the ability to share documents and to collaborate with other people on a document, work together, and so forth. Think about using IM through Live Communication Server. So when we talk about Office system, we're talking about sort of the broader opportunity or space around collaboration and productivity, and that's really working by yourself on your machine. Sure, that's still an important part, but also about working with other people, and it's really those core technologies that are key there to making that happen.
Right. In fact, we even reflect that change from a SharePoint perspective in the name of SharePoint. It's not SharePoint Portal Server any longer. It's Microsoft Office SharePoint Server.
Absolutely.
So that really leads to how we're doing that collaborative integration between other users in our environment, other work groups, other teams, and it's not just the local teams, it's this globalization of working across these geographical boundaries.
Absolutely. And you know, and for folks that are not perhaps as familiar with SharePoint, you know, if you're running Windows Server 2003, you've got WSS, it's part of the OS, give it a try, take a look at what you can do, and then realize that when you actually install SharePoint Portal Server or SharePoint, you know, Microsoft Office SharePoint Server, I think, is the official name now.
Right.
When you actually go there, you'll actually see not only now do you have indexing and search and a lot of great management technologies like backup and so forth that are there to help you in those mission-critical environments. So great collaboration tool, Live Communication Server, Live Meeting, all these other capabilities that plug right into Office that we've engineered to make them work together as seamlessly as possible. Those are sort of that broader opportunity or broader experience for users to be able to take that data and move it to other people and interact with each other.
Excellent. So you mentioned WSS, and just for clarification, WSS is Windows SharePoint Services, and that ships with the server operating system.
Absolutely.
So we can just clarify those acronyms
for
our listeners. So
yeah. We love our TLAs here.
Yeah, so. Yes, we do. So we wanted to focus this on kind of on deployment. So what new tools do we have for – let's start off with migrating from previous versions of the Office products to the new Office 2007
Sure.
system. So what new tools do we have?
So, I mean, we've really invested. I mean, we've been asking people to help us understand exactly what are some of the challenges with deployment today. And some of those areas really around document migration. So we've really focused a lot of our investment. In fact, just to – you know, to put it out there, we've actually invested more in deployment and management for 2007 than we have in any previous version. So there's a lot of new technology here. in the sense that not only the tools to make the job easier, but the underlying architecture of the products to make to allow a little bit more flexibility there. So first of all, we have some tools with, as I mentioned, around document migration, and that's really kind of the heart of that is the Office Migration Planning Manager.
So now, is this because of the new document format we have with the Office system, the new DocX format that we have these new tools?
Sure. That's, Chris, absolutely one part of it. I mean, when users, regardless of whether they're moving to the new file format or not, we needed to help organizations not only understand the impact of migrating to the new 2007 Office system, but also to understand exactly what the impact of it was going to be on their data, because that's really what people want to know. Can I still open my documents? Can I still continue to work with my documents? That's really the heart of what people do with Office, and we want to make sure that process is as smooth as possible. So the OMPM allows you to do two things.
All right, the OMPM?
Sure, the Office Migration Planning Manager.
There we go.
The Office Migration Planning Manager really allows you to do a couple things. One of it's a simple tool for scanning your machine. So we have a simple executable. You can throw that out onto your machines using SMS or whatever your deployment tool of choice is. And you can push that out there. And what this basically does is, or you can target machines remotely in the case of like file servers and so forth. It basically scans those machines and looks for all Office documents. We look for all the usual file extensions, you know, .doc, .dot, for example, all those types of things. We pull all those back into a central database that we actually pre-provision. And that database, basically, we can run a series of queries on that. And all these tools are coming right out of the box. This is a free tool that's available for download right off Microsoft.com. And essentially what we've done here is this tool looks for known issues that would prevent that document from either being migrated to the new 2007 OpenXML file format, so the new format you were mentioning earlier, or that would cause any problems with that document if it were opened in 2007. For example, you know, if a feature was deprecated, or if that document, for example, contained particular content types that, you know, have known compatibility issues. Also things as simple as, you know, we've made some changes to Microsoft Excel, for example, to bring it in line with accounting principles. And so some of the formulas, some of the way we calculate some of the very high-end formulas in that, you know, for actuarials and things like that, have changed a little bit because accounting practices have changed. Well, we want to make sure people understand that that document, which uses those particular formulas, may have some different outputs now. So we want to flag those particular things so that people understand, hey, these changes are going to be made and have been made in the product, and so they're going to affect your documents. And we report all these out through a very simple, easy UI. And so, you know, quickly you can ascertain these things, and we kind of flag them as green, yellow, and red. Green, hey, there's nothing to worry about here. Yellow, this document can still be open, can still be migrated, no problems, but there's an issue here you should be aware of. Red, or anything that requires some intervention. So, you know, for example, a red issue might be something as simple as a feature that we've deprecated or we've discontinued, which is the ability to embed multiple versions of a document within itself. So think of this sort of a nesting doll approach. We used to allow that, and unfortunately that's a feature we looked at and we said for a variety of reasons, security and performance and so forth, it was something that very, very few people were using. We figured this was a good time to go ahead and sunset that feature. And so if a document contains multiple versions of itself, we want to, A, inform you so that you're aware of that, and B, we also do provide a tool so that you can break all those different documents out into separate versions. So really think about this tool as the means of informing you about the documents in your organization and what issues that may be present there.
Excellent. Excellent. Good description of the planning tool. So let's talk about customizing some of this. So with Office 2003, we had the Office Customization Toolkit, which was kind of misleading because it wasn't just one tool. There was a variety of tools that were used and, you know, quite honestly, could be a little bit cumbersome for modifying the deployments of Office that we wanted to push out to our end users. Have we simplified that, or what new tools do we have around customizing the deployments?
We definitely heard the feedback loud and clear that 9 separate wizards and tools was not the way to go. And so what we've done is we've come out with something called the Office Customization Tool. It's a single tool, and it basically not only combines all the previous features of all those different wizards, but we've also expanded on them by a considerable margin. The tool actually comes on the media. If you have any of the volume licensing media, if you're going that route, it actually is right there. You can just run it straight from the disk, setup /admin at the command prompt, and you'll basically be able to see this tool. Essentially what we've done is we've combined all those features, so now you have a single place to create a customization of Office, and we basically walk you through all the different steps. There's a simple UI. You can, you know, basically, you know, suppress the UI at install. You can accept the EULA. You can enter your product key. You can do all the things you were able to do under the custom install wizards in the past. But also, you can use this as your maintenance wizard. For example, if you decide to change some features or some settings down the road, you can use the Office customization tool to do that. Pump out a new transform, and away you go.
To essentially refresh the installations that already exist.
Sure. I mean, if you think about it, let's say you have a new template that you want to be able to include that with every installation of Office. Well, you can go ahead and create a new .msp. And that's an important point also, is that we've standardized on the Microsoft patching format, the .msp format, so that now organizations have only one format to use when updating or when customizing Office. So right there with Windows, right there with all the other Office applications, we make that a lot easier if you're using SMS or you're using another management tool to push those out. So the OCT is really the way to go. It's a single set of it's a single tool, combines all those capabilities that we've had in the past, and it's really easy, much easier to learn than having to step through all these different wizards that we've done previously. So we're really pleased with how we've kind of made this a little bit easier, made this a much more straightforward approach for users and for IT organizations. So hopefully this will simplify the process of customizing. One other thing I want to add to previously, so we talked about the Office Migration Planning Manager. Also, we have something in there called the File Conversion Tool. So for organizations that are interested in moving forward to the new file format, we actually do have a tool that automates that process. So if you have a pile of documents and you're sitting there saying, hey, for compliance reasons, or hey, we want to be able to really take advantage of the capabilities of XML, searchability, reuse of the data, and so on and so forth, all those capabilities can be made possible by moving those documents to the new OpenXML formats, in addition to which the files become considerably smaller. So use the Office Migration Planning Manager. Know where your documents are located. Understand if there are any particular issues about those documents, and then you can actually kick off a migration process right there from the Office Migration Planning Manager. And all this is done at the local machine level. So you're not pulling documents across your organization, converting them on one machine and sending them back. All these documents are converted locally. Highly recommend it for those organizations that are interested in taking a look a little bit more at that. We have a ton of documentation in the Office Resource Kit, and we'll have a URL at the end of this interview for you.
So it sounds like even though there's a lot more in the way of functionality features in the Office system, it comprises a wide range of applications. We've simplified a lot of the tools that are used to manage that, deploy it out, et cetera. So we're really making it simpler, even though it feels like it's getting more complicated.
Yeah, and in fact, even as I mentioned earlier, we've also changed the architecture of the product. On one extreme, our setup engine, the installation engine by itself, actually has a considerable number of features that have added to it. Not only do we streamline the process. So, for example, if you're an organization that's going to install Office and maybe Visio or maybe another application to the desktop, what we've enabled you to do now is you've actually can chain those applications and have a single install process. So, in other words, you're going to have that single install bar, and so you'll install Office, it'll install all those other things. If at any point it fails, we actually roll you back to that zero state. So you know exactly what the machine state is, and we log everything with a higher degree of detail than we have in the past. So, if you're running an installation in your organization, one machine fails, you can walk out to that machine. You know what state the machine is in. In the past, some things installed, some things didn't install. You weren't quite sure what you're going to sit down to. Now, you know exactly. We roll you back to zero state. No installation has happened, so you can move from there. And you've got logs, so you can troubleshoot what the process is. So our setup engine's easier. And in addition to that, we have a new architecture for how we do languages. So if your organization...
Right, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, the new multilingual architecture is a huge step forward for us. So what we've done is we've broken out, if you think about it this way, in the past we had a single MSI. Everything, all parts of Office were part of that single installer. Now we actually break this out into two separate installers. So we've got think about all the functionality and the windows and all the capabilities of Office in one bucket. And everything that's unique to a specific language, whether it's English, French, German, so forth, in a separate bucket. So think of that's your proofing tools. That's your prompts for the UI.
Dictionaries for spell checking, grammar tools, et cetera.
Yeah, anything that's unique to that language is in a separate bucket. So now what you can do is in the past where you had to install sort of a base language and then have a second language sitting on top of that, and it wasn't always a seamless process. Now you can sit there and mix and match languages. So if you want to build a single image for a worldwide audience, you can do just that. You can sit there and create a version of Office have the three or four language packs that you need to support your worldwide audience, and then you can roll that out. And so actually, as you install, Office is smart enough to look at the core OS language and sit there and say, hey, this is a French OS, so I better apply the French language pack here. It doesn't install Office. It doesn't install German. It only installs the languages that your user needs or anything else that you script into it. So, you know, again, we're trying to make this easier. We're trying to support that global audience. And so this is the new multilingual architecture really does that for us.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about how group policy plays into this. So group policy, hopefully everyone knows it can be used to do a lot of control, modification of applications and the OS itself. Is there anything new inside of group policy for managing our Office deployments or just the desktop after it's deployed?
Sure. You know, and it's kind of a great segue from the Office customization tool in that, you know, the OCT is really used to set up that default experience. If you want to basically customize how a user is going to walk into Office for the first time, the Office customization tool is really the way to go. But if you want to enforce those behaviors, if you want to enforce those specific
right.
features, then really group policy is the best tool of choice. And so, you know, for organizations that use group policy to manage the machines in their organization, they're going to find that they have a tremendous amount of flexibility now, more so than we've been able to provide in the past. We've invested heavily in group policy in terms of the richness of the ADM template. So if you're an administrator and you want to control specifically which features are available or specific behaviors about those features, you'll find that the new ADM templates, which are available for download today off of TechNet, you'll find that those templates are extremely rich. And so you'll be able to step through there, dictate specific settings or specific types of behaviors that you want in your organization, whether it's for security, whether it's for usability. All those types of things are all available to you now. So highly, highly encourage you to take a look at the richness of those ADM templates, and you'll find that there is a high degree of flexibility available for your organization there today. To control exactly how you want your desktops to behave and to run in your organization.
Okay, and we'll see if we can't find the URL for that so that after this you're done listening to this particular broadcast, you can find the URLs to download those administrative templates. All right, so Microsoft has a new desktop deployment site that covers deployment of the entire desktop, the operating system as well as applications that go on that. Do we have some good tools out there, resources to inform our IT pros in the audience on some of these new features that are out there?
Yeah,
in particular?
So, I mean, I would certainly encourage. So, I mean, we talked a lot about tools so far, but really one of the most important things that we've invested in is around guidance. Look,
right.
folks, we know that this isn't something that people do every day. You know, mm-hmm. deployment is something you do, and then you move on to other tasks. And
yeah,
you
hope you only have to deploy it once, and you're done.
Yeah.
in a perfect world, anyway.
Though we certainly would like people to be able to take advantage of all the capabilities we've invested in for the newer versions of Office. But, you know, one of the things we've really wanted to do is make it easier for somebody who's just walking in and saying, hey, just get me going, help me deploy as quickly as possible, help me understand where the pitfalls could be and so forth. So what we've really invested in is Office Resource Kit. And so some of you may remember this. It sort of looked like a phone book in the past. It sort of organized like an encyclopedia, A to Z. What we've really done is we've completely thrown that plan out the window. We've gone with something that's task-based. So you want to deploy. It's all on the web. Step one, do this. Step two, download this tool. So all the tools are integrated right there into the Office Resource Kit. We've integrated white papers that sort of show you, a day in the life of or how somebody else did this. So we really walk you through this process of moving from the planning phase into your proof of concept into the installation, and so forth. So really highly encourage you to take a look at that. That's up on TechNet. The Desktop Deployment Center that Chris mentioned just a little bit ago, that's also a huge investment. Now, right now, we're in the process of revving that, so you'll see a considerable amount of content change there over from the 2003 XP time frame into the Vista 2007 time frame, but we'll also keep that legacy because we know some folks are still deploying XP Service Pack 2 and still deploying Office 2003 out there. So we still have resources out there for you folks, but we'll also have all the new stuff out there for the 2003 Vista or 2007 Vista time frame. In addition to the ORK, the Office Resource Kit, we also have a new service called the Desktop Deployment Planning Service. And so for those of you folks out there that have an enterprise agreement with Microsoft and have software assurance, you'll find that this is an SA benefit. Basically what it is, it's free consulting with a certified deployment partner that brings them into your organization. And the length of the consulting is dependent on a number of factors, the size of your EA and so forth. It's up to 10 days, and I think it can be even extended a little bit, of free consulting with one of these folks who are out there doing deployment every day. And you can basically bring them in your organization. They'll take a look at your plan, at the particular elements of your infrastructure, and help you put together that deployment plan to get you deploying Office 2007 as quickly as possible. I think DDPS today also covers 2003, so but I'm not sure for how much longer. So definitely if you're looking to deploy in the near future, get one of these partners in there. It's free. Microsoft pays for it. And basically get them to help walk you through the best practices that are available today, the best use of the tools that are available today, and how do you avoid any unpleasantness? And if you have that great deployment plan, if you spent the time up front getting that plan together, understanding the intricacies of your unique organization, then you're going to find that process is going to be very smooth and executed as quickly as possible.
So for people who do have an EA or an SA that want to use these consulting services, they should speak with their account managers to get information.
Absolutely.
On that?
Also, we'll give you a URL at the end of this broadcast that where you can go for a little bit more information. But yeah, definitely your account manager locally there can get you going on that. And if you're a partner, there's a great opportunity to get involved here in a great service to help other folks get deploying as quickly as possible.
Cool. Very, very nice. All right, so we talked a little bit about managing the desktops post-deployment with group policy. What about using Microsoft Operations Manager or SMS? Do we have any kind of new tools around there, some management packs or something
like definitely.
That?
Yeah, definitely. So for folks that are using MOM today, or I think they're changing their name to System Center Manager.
Right. I forgot about that. The whole SCRM, System Center Resource Manager package that we're putting together.
Absolutely.
Lots of changes coming around.
Lots of changes. And definitely it's a new product. And so one of the things that team has done is they've undertaken sort of these unique management packs that are unique to managing specific applications. And one of the places they've started is Office. And so using agentless exception monitoring, in other words, not having to put anything installed on that machine, the IW management packs from MOM essentially allow you to grab the state of the machine, the health of the machine, and keep up to that and basically monitor your organization. So, for example, if you want to be able to see, all the Office clients across your organization, and the health of them, you can do that. But more importantly, I think this provides a proactive approach. For example, internally here where we've been testing it, one day a bunch of users on one node of our network dropped off their Exchange connection. So, Exchange thought everything was great. Exchange, the server was up and running. But before the phone started ringing at the help desk already was aware that these users could not connect to their Exchange server. The management packs basically provided that information to them. And so they were already working on the solution before the phone started ringing. And I can tell you here at Microsoft, if people are off email, we tend to fly off the panhandle real quick. So, that sort of proactive approach to managing your organization, to basically make your help desk sort of lead the pack as opposed to always being behind the issues, that's really sort of a direction that we're going here with these management packs. If you have a you can also drill down the specific health of a machine and the help that'll be provided to that user. So for example, if you have issues that constantly come up, you can build these rich knowledge bases for those issues in your organization, and that can help each particular person in the help desk. They can add to that and append to those solution paths. In addition to that, if you have a user who's constantly calling in, you can sit there and drill into their machine and understand exactly where their machine is having issues. Are they in fact crashing, or is this more of, is this an opportunity to provide better training for that user? What is the actual issue here? So again, it's one of those opportunities here to sit there and monitor your desktops, monitor the health of those desktops, and take proactive steps to managing those clients.
So now the management packs, that addresses it for your medium to huge organizations that have deployed something like Operations Manager or the forthcoming System Center Resource Manager. What about for smaller businesses that don't necessarily have the capital to deploy or make that kind of a purchase? Can this same type of information be pulled back with Windows Management instrumentation calls, or is there something smaller scale for small business type customers?
Yeah, you can definitely do something. So one of the things that's built into all the Office 2007 applications is something called Office Diagnostics. Now, while we have had tools in the past to sort of do health checks and sort of internally, Office Diagnostics really takes that to a new level. And basically what we're able to do is monitor the health of the local machine. And basically Office sits there and looks at patterns of instability. If a user suddenly starts to see a spike in instability, in other words, they're crashing or they're having hangs and so forth like that, Office Diagnostics prompts that user to run a series of tests. These tests can help that user basically walk through, we test the hardware. Is there a bad memory? Are there bad sectors on the hard drive? Things like that may be affecting Office, but would be hard to diagnose. And then we also look at the Office installation. One of the things we've changed in terms of the way we install Office is we create something called a local install source. So there's a local cache of all the resources that are unique to Office. And so if Office, for example, discovers that a DLL has been stamped on or some other resource has been corrupted, we actually have the ability to go pull that resource, that uncorrupted resource, from the cache, apply it, apply any updates or service packs to that update, and basically fix Office itself without requiring the intervention of the help desk.
Kind of like system file protection at the OS level, only this is applying at the Office application level.
And in fact, the other cool thing about this is that you can run these tests, and essentially you can actually have that test, that output from that test, sent off to your local help desk by setting a Windows registry flag, and we have documentation on how to do that. And essentially, what that does is that tells your help desk, look, you know, we've run these tests, and so immediately when that technician gets involved in helping that user, you know, get the machine back up and running, you know that A, it was or wasn't a hardware issue, it was or wasn't an installation issue for Office. You know, you've checked the, you know, make sure that it's updated, you're currently patched, all those types of things. So we've done all that legwork to sort of get you going. So immediately when that technician walks in, they already know, they can already begin to narrow down the potential list of issues around that particular problem. So again, we're trying to help you help your users out there by getting you involved, and also by helping that user help themselves to an extent. If it's something that's been corrupted locally, Office can fix itself and get that user back up and running without having to require a call to help desk. And the UI is very simple and very easy to understand. So again, around trying to help users get going, and basically help themselves, but also trying to help the IT pro really become a hero in the organization by being able to stay ahead of the curve.
So that leads into something that I just recalled about the previous versions of Office. We had a corporate error reporting tool where we could actually redirect some of the error reporting to a local source as opposed to out to the Microsoft servers. Does that still exist inside of Office 2007, or has it been modified or tweaked some?
So those... you know, those crash reports, things like that, you can collect those locally. There's a flag to do that. In fact, the IW management pack can capture those, you can use the corporate error reporting tool for that same purpose.
And that can help establish that local knowledge base, like you're saying, of trying to make the IT pro the hero of the organization. It's just another tool that they can have in their tool belt to establish that local knowledge base so that they can identify these issues locally and provide those solutions quickly for the end users.
Absolutely.
To keep them up and running. So that's excellent. All right, so we are coming to the end of our time here, so I always like to throw out kind of an off-topic type kind of question here. I understand that you were at in a previous life, prior to Microsoft, a scout of some sort, maybe for sports?
Yes, not a Boy Scout.
No.
Though okay. I was one of those too, I guess.
There you go.
I actually worked for the Cleveland Indians organization as a scout in the field looking for prospects to draft and to hopefully strengthen our minor league system, and was a lot of fun.
Any famous players you were responsible for, or any infamous players maybe?
Thankfully, no infamous players, but you know, none of the guys that I worked with have actually made it through minors yet. So though I did have an old roommate who ended up transferring from my university to Stanford and was actually signed by the Indians organization, Jeremy Guthrie, who's done quite well in the minor leagues as a pitcher. So. You know, so it's a fun thing. I'm still involved coaching up here. I actually coach one of our local select teams, so it's a blast. But baseball was good, but I really do enjoy the software industry now.
Okay, good deal. All right, well, thank you very much, Josh, again, for speaking with us about some Office deployment tools and utilities. We're going to make some URLs available to the audience at the end of the session. And once again, thank you, Josh, for taking out time of your day, your busy schedule, to speak with us and our IT pros. So
absolutely.
Thanks, you all, Chris, for listening to TechNet Radio today.
And that was Chris Avis interviewing Josh Edwards on TechNet Radio. There are a few links that Josh mentioned, and I want to make sure you have those. There's the Office Resource Kit. That's at microsoft.com/technet/prodtechnol/office/ORK. And then the Desktop Deployment Center, that's at microsoft.com/technet/desktop-deployment. And then you'll also want to go check out the 2007 Office ADM templates. The URL for that one is a bit too lengthy for me to read off, but I've put all these links under additional resources up on our site, microsoft.com/tnradio. And now we have our monthly security update. Here's Kai Axford and Mark Griesi on TechNet Radio.
Okay, welcome everybody to the December Security Bulletin Update. And today I'm talking with Mark Griesi, with the Security Response Team, and my name is Kai Axford. I'm a Senior Security Strategist with the Trustworthy Computing Team, as is Mark. And Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role? So my name is Mark Griesi. I am a security product manager in the emergency response and communications team. It's our job to communicate out to the world through press, analysts, or direct communications through our websites about what's happening around vulnerabilities that are discovered in Microsoft products, and make sure everybody knows what they are and what they can do about them, and when we're releasing fixes that address those things.
Cool. So how many updates are we releasing in December today?
So we are releasing a total of 7 security bulletins.
Okay. And how do those relate? I mean, how many critical, how many importance are we looking at here? Anything else?
So we are looking at 3 critical and 4 important.
3 critical, 4 important. And 2 of those criticals relate to Windows. And what's the other critical one relate to?
So actually, there's 2 criticals that relate to Windows, and 1 critical that relates to Visual Studio 2005.
Okay, cool. So the first one we're going to talk about is 0672,
okay,
which is one of the critical ones in Windows. And what is that? What vulnerability are we specifically addressing here with the 72?
So this is a vulnerability in IE. Again, it is rated critical, and we are addressing vulnerabilities that allow for remote code execution. You know, basically what this is looking at is the way IE attempts to access previously freed memory when it's handling script errors. So this only applies to certain situations, but as a result of this, the system memory can become corrupted in such a way that attacker could execute some arbitrary code.
Okay, and if I'm running Internet Explorer with the enhanced security configuration off of Server 2003, is that going to save me?
Yes, it does. So by default, Internet Explorer on Windows Server 2003 runs in restricted mode. So again, as you said, this is called the enhanced security configuration. And so this mode sets the security level for the Internet zone to high. So this actually is a mitigating factor by doing this by default.
Cool. And if I'm, you know, I know that you guys have been pushing out Internet Explorer 7.0, and if I just went ahead and installed that on all my desktops, is there something I need to be concerned about? Does this affect IE7 or is this only IE6 and below?
Yeah, so this does not affect IE7 by the virtue of having IE7. That mitigates this issue as well.
Cool.
So if you did roll this out, this would prevent this attack as well.
Great. Okay, so now let's talk about MS-0673, which again is a critical. You can tell me about that. Now, this is the one that affects Visual Studio. Now, first of all, if I'm not running Visual Studio, do I need to be concerned about this? And I see here it affects the WMI object broker. What the heck is that?
So if you're not running Visual Studio, then no, you don't need to be concerned about this. So this is an issue with Visual Studio. And, yes, so the WMI object broker. So great question. You know, what is that? So it's obviously something you wouldn't know unless you were, you know, a developer and used the product. But the object broker is basically it's an ActiveX control that uses a WMI wizard within Visual Studio 2005. And when a user invokes the wizard as a feature in Visual Studio 2005, it uses this object broker to instantiate other controls.
So, oh, I see.
So the issue is that it's the vulnerability through ActiveX can lead to this particular exploit.
And again, if I'm running IE7, this is an ActiveX issue, and I know IE7 has that ActiveX opt-in feature. If I'm running IE7 with my Visual Studio 2005, again, this does not affect me, correct?
That's correct. So if you are running IE7, it does mitigate that. And you know, you're not at risk until the object broker control has actually been activated through the ActiveX opt-in feature. So by default, it's not in IE7. So if this were to instantiate, then you would have to opt into this control with IE7.
Gotcha. Okay, well, cool. And I see the next one here is 74, which is an important update that affects the SNMP service. Is anybody still using that?
So, you know, it's interesting that it doesn't matter how old something might be or how long it's been around, there's always somebody out there that's using it. But in a nutshell, this is rated as important. It is also remote execution vulnerability that exists in the service. And if it was exploited, then an attacker could actually take control of an affected system. And what it's caused from is an unchecked buffer in the service. So if there was a buffer overrun, you could actually exploit the service.
Okay. And with regard to 75, I see here that it actually affects the CSRSS service, which we've all seen that list when we bring up our task manager. We see that CSRSS service running. Can you explain to me exactly what the CSRSS even stands for and how this vulnerability has impacted and what we're trying to do to fix that?
So it is something that's always there. Everybody always sees this. But what it stands for is client-server runtime subsystem. This is an essential subsystem that actually must be running at all times. And it's this subsystem that actually is responsible for the console windows and for creating and deleting threads. So it's an important subsystem that continues to run.
Okay, and what's the vulnerability there?
So the vulnerability is a privilege elevation vulnerability. So if an attacker successfully exploited this vulnerability, so let's say you're running in a more restricted user mode, you actually can get an elevation of privilege, which means the user that's running actually gets more privilege on the machine than was intended. And then in doing so, attacker could actually then install programs or run things on the computer and then be able to do this with full user rights.
I see. Okay, and so is this something that we, you know, I know a lot of times we get these things, you know, publicly disclosed, not publicly disclosed. Was this a publicly disclosed vulnerability? I don't think it was.
No, this wasn't a publicly disclosed vulnerability, and we've not seen examples of proof of concept code in the public either.
Okay, that's a good thing. And now the next one here, 0676, what's the scope of this vulnerability? And I'm a little concerned about this one only because I see that it could affect Outlook Express, which, you know, it's one of those I call my in-law email inbox, right, because that's what they always seem to use. So what's the concern there for those people?
So this is a newly discovered issue with this vulnerability. It is just rated as important, so it's not critical. But what it basically does is this is remote code execution vulnerability that can allow an attacker to get access to the Windows address book on an affected system. And if they could actually exploit this function, the address book function in Outlook Express, they could actually do remote code execution. And this, again, like 074, is caused by an unchecked buffer in that address book function.
Okay, cool. So, you know, tell your in-laws to go ahead and get that on their machine, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
And the next one here, 0677, that looks like it has to do with RIS, Remote Installation Services, which I know is a pre-boot execution environment technology that allows me basically to initiate a Windows setup over a network. Now, where's the concern there? What's the risk there?
So in 077, it is remote installation service, and what the vulnerability causes is potential for remote code execution. And this is caused by allowing anonymous access, which isn't uncommon in doing installations over a network. But what happens is, in this case, the file structure on the hosted system becomes vulnerable through the RIS TFTP service. So when you actually get onto the system, then you actually can access more things than you were intended to through the anonymous access.
Okay, cool. And finally, the last one we're releasing today is 078, which has to do with the media player format runtime.
Correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So there's a couple underlying formats in media player, and this has to do with how information is actually streamed out to media player. So in this case, the ASF file format, which is the advanced streaming format, has a vulnerability. And this also is caused by an unchecked buffer and can allow for remote code execution as well.
And does that affect only files that have the ASF extension, or are there other files that get the WMV, the WMA files, are those affected as well?
So yes, although we call it out when we talk about it as the advanced streaming format, or ASF, there are other file extensions such as WMV and WMA that fall into that category, and those are also vulnerable.
Okay, so we need to be aware of that as well.
Correct.
And so basically, for the entire month of December, how many vulnerabilities are we fixing total?
We did a total of 11 vulnerabilities.
Okay, and how many of those apply to Windows Server 2003 Service Pack 1?
4.
Okay, and how many apply to Windows XP Service Pack 2?
5.
Okay, and of these, all these things here, I mean, I know you guys have just launched Vista for Business with the new launch for the consumer basically coming out here in January. Do any of these vulnerabilities affect Vista, Office 2007, IE7, any of those?
No. So none of the vulnerabilities, none of these 11 vulnerabilities in the bulletins affect Office 2007, affect Windows Vista, or Internet Explorer 7.
And I know there's been rumor people are talking about, you know, so-and-so, that there could be a potential risk in IE7. What's Microsoft doing about that?
So as always, you know, we're always actively investigating any potential vulnerabilities that come in or that come to our attention, whether it's something that we find or external finders find. We are actively investigating one vulnerability in IE7, but this is not something that is addressed by one of these bulletins. And upon completion of our investigation, if we feel it's appropriate, we'll absolutely alert everyone to our findings. And if necessary, we'll do a out-of-cycle update or just put it through the normal monthly process.
So currently, though, there's nothing that we need to be worried about right now?
No.
Okay, great. All right, well, Mark, I appreciate your time today. You guys, look for the longer version of this with Christopher Budd on Wednesday. And as always, we appreciate your attention. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Kai Axford and Mark Griessi on TechNet Radio. If you'd like more information on these security updates, make sure to check out the webcast. It's titled TechNet Webcast, Information About Microsoft December Security Bulletins. And that's tomorrow, Wednesday, at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. I've put the link for that up on our site, or you can visit Microsoft.com/webcasts. So because we're right in the middle of the holidays, you're probably way too busy to check out any conferences. So I don't have any information on those types of events for you. For any office webcasts, though, focused towards you more technical folks, visit Microsoft.com/events/series/TechNetOffice. You know I always love to get feedback, so shoot me an email at tnradio@microsoft.com. And just let me know what you think of the podcast or if you have any content ideas. I love to hear from you. You can also call 877-814-6506. Thanks as always for listening. I look forward to next time. For TechNet Radio, I'm Aurora Queen.
Have comments or want to request a story idea? Call us at 1-877-814-6506.